Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter how hard life gets. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And He will always get you through. Déjà vu in the French literally means already seen. When you have a moment like that, you think, I've already experienced this before, somewhere or someplace, and it seems as though it were virtually real. I'm just reliving it all over again. However, how do you feel when trouble does a double take, comes back? I'm talking about when those pesky, persistent problems that you thought were gone return. Maybe it was your first day back at school when the person that is seated in permanent seating next to you was the person you remember leaving in the spring and whispering, I hate your guts. Maybe it is an old boyfriend that moved back into town next door. Maybe it is Monday morning when you go to work and you thought that the boss had ironed out all the problems, and now you get called into her office and you know it's not going to be good. Or maybe you go back to the doctor who has helped you through all kinds of difficulties and through a long-term illness. You're about to compliment him when he says, oh, and I want to talk to you about your other problems. You know, it doesn't always go away. Sometimes problems, troubles reoccur at the worst possible moment. And as déjà vu seems to be happening, you have to ask yourself, how am I going to get through? How do I respond? What should I do? And where's God in all this? On the inside of the back cover, page 7, I've got an outline. Today it's very crunched down because we didn't have a lot of extra room. Where's God when life deals you double the trouble? David experienced this because double trouble came in the form of King Saul. In actuality, the king had tried to kill him before. He had come out searching him with an army. He had even picked up a spear, and at a gathering when David was probably most vulnerable, he tried to peg him to the wall and missed him. And now, here he comes again. David has to be asking himself, I thought we had all this settled. I didn't think I was going to have to deal with this again. And here I am in danger all over. So let's take a look at double the trouble and how to deal with the trauma in God's way. First, face the problem. Don't run away. There are some things that you simply don't want to go back through, even if it went well the first time. Take, for example, his name was Josh, but he wasn't the archer. An Olympic archer named David was putting on a demonstration in New York Central Park, and he was using real broadheads, shooting into the center of a target at 30 yards, hitting it every time. So in order for it to be a little bit bigger effect, he said, will somebody hold an apple in front of the bullseye? There weren't any takers. So Josh, the ABC correspondent, said, I will, went over and took the small apple in his hand with a bigger one in his throat. And he could hear the twang going off 30 yards away. You know he had to resist jerking, because he knew if he moved, it could be all over. Thwack, it went right through the middle of that apple, right into the center of the bullseye. Whew, with relief, he looked up smiling as his cameraman came and said, hey, Josh, you know, I had some trouble with the viewfinder. Can you do it again? You're going to notice some similarities here with chapter 24. David had hidden out as Saul came pursuing him in a cave. Saul came up, as it were, in the text, it says, to relieve himself. David snuck up behind the king, cut off a portion of his robe, and then when he went down to his troops, he showed him. He said, I could have killed you. So their similarities are these. The Ziphites, they call Saul in again. They're sort of tattletales. David's over here, Saul. They want to get in good with the king. Then also, he comes out with a posse. This time, 3,000 of his best troops. And again, very similarly, He crawls close enough to Saul to kill him, and they part in peace. But what's different in this, a deja vu moment, is that David goes out after Saul. He sends out spies, and he comes near the camp, and then he asks for a volunteer to go into camp with him. So this is a different approach. And from this, we're going to learn something that's interesting. It isn't that he goes waving his sword into camp, bring it on. He's not careless, but he's willing to face it again. If you've tried to run away and you can't, then turn around and stand your ground. With all the wisdom and courage he could muster, he asked God to bless his decision and action. That's why you'll never get anywhere when you try to run away from trouble when it comes back a second time. Or the temptation's there to escape. Maybe you have scars from the last time. You just didn't exactly enjoy the whole thing, and it gives you jitter just thinking about it. Maybe you've been to the dentist. You know what I mean? Going back another time? Ugh. And so you want to, perhaps, just simply avoid it. But it's not time to cut and run. Let me give you an example from the shepherding industry, which is appropriate because David was raised up to be this anointed one, though he was a simple shepherd. Her name was Lexi Fowler out in the western side of Colorado. The Denver Post said, like many sheep ranchers in the West, she had tried just about everything she could to stop the crafty coyotes from killing her sheep. In fact, after trying poison and traps and electric fences, she still had a problem and had lost 50 of her lambs the previous year, until she found a solution. She read about it in a magazine and went and bought two llamas. Now, if you have been around here a number of years with me, you know that we used to look at the llamas out those windows before they were real pretty. And the llamas, they've been removed, but when you went over there, and I took a class over there once, they don't go running away. They run right directly at you with their ears up, wondering, what are you? So the llamas actually run at the coyotes who are opportunists. The llamas take that opportunity away and scare them. In the same way, when trouble comes back, you got to be able to ask God for assurance of his presence. Give you wisdom, give you strength and courage, steel up your nerves, and face the problem as best you can. That may make sense, but it's not that easy to do. Maybe you need the words of the psalmist when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Maybe you need David talking in your head saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me." Part two, do what's right, don't second guess. Now we go back into the text a little bit. I'm going to start and kind of trace it back in for you. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground." You remember that part. But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. The Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Grab the spear and the water jug." You see, what was happening here was a second chance to do it differently. But David wanted to do it right. His name was Harvey. He was 110 years old. They asked him what was the secret of his longevity. He said, "Well, I didn't smoke. I didn't drink much. I went to bed about 10 o'clock every night, and I walked at least 3 miles, rain or shine." And one of the people interviewing said, but Harvey, I had an uncle who did exactly that, and he died at 62. Harvey said, "Well, I guess he didn't keep it up long enough." You see, it's interesting that we don't think in terms of trouble coming back. We think we've got it done. We got it nixed. It disappears. And then it doesn't. It comes back. And obviously, we say to ourselves, "I didn't handle it the right way the first time because it came back." So, the presentation seems to be, we should do it differently. He asked for a volunteer. Abishai one of the very brave soldiers went with him. They snuck into camp, to the middle of the camp, by the king. And as they're standing there, I don't know how they can whisper and get away with it, but Abishai says to him, "Let me pin him to the ground. I won't hit him twice." Oh, yeah. He's going to honor the king, all right. I'll just take him out with one blow. But David says, no. You see, he could have given in to the temptation and tried to face that double trouble by doing something differently. And as David resists that temptation, he encourages us. What about that last time when the coworker made a smart remark and you stayed calm, you ignored it? And maybe this time you feel like giving him a piece of your mind. What about the last time when you told the truth and got in trouble? Maybe I should just slip a few lies in there so that it doesn't attract any attention. I'll tell you, it's never a good idea to sin. And sin will take you on a route that will end up being more costly. So if your trouble returns, turn around and face it and do what is right again. You see, if you didn't do it right the first time, you got a second chance. And if you did it right, then God will give you the strength to persevere. Two hunters came across a bear so big that it scared them, and they accidentally dropped their guns. By then they decided they better run. So one ran for the tree and climbed way up high where he thought he was safe. The other ran to a cave. Bear sat down right between and was looking right and left. When the guy in the cave came running out, almost ran into the bear, grunted a little bit and ran back into the cave. Did it again a second time. On the third time, as he was coming out, the guy in the tree said, "Jimmy, why don't you just stay in there until he's gone?" Jimmy hollered out, "Can't. There's another bear in there." It's always easier to do the wrong thing the second time around. Because you tried it, it didn't go away. I think I should try something differently. But always teach yourself to start with what God says. What did God say? That is how I should respond. And you start with that, letting the word encourage you to choose what's right, and you determine to let God decipher the outcome. Galatians 6, he says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a reward if we do not lose heart." Thirdly, trust in him. Don't turn to another. Now we're going to hear the rest of the story. Now you can follow along in the bulletin if you want to see it in print. David crossed over to the other side and took and stood on the top of the hill some distance away. There's a wide space between them. He called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, "Aren't you going to answer me, Abner?" Abner replied, "Who are you who calls to the king?" David said, "You're a man, aren't you? And who is like you in Israel? Why didn't you guard the Lord your king? Someone came to destroy your Lord the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men deserve to die because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord the king." And he added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done? And what am I guilty of? Now let my lord the king listen to his servant's word. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, men have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have driven me now from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, 'Go serve other gods.' Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David. Because you consider my life precious, I will not try to harm you again." The story is this, and it is mighty powerful when you understand the whole history of David's life. David trusted the Lord. Saul brought out men. He brought out armies. He trusted his own might, but David trusted the Lord. Do you see? What incredible difference there was between these two men. And do you comprehend why David would be lifted up as the new anointed one? If I were to ask every person in this room, do you trust God with all your heart? You might say, yeah, of course. But in actuality, you discover how strong your faith is when you go back through trouble again. It's what happens when you hit it the second, the third, the 100th time. Do you still trust God, or do you look for another? In fact, it's not really what you say, but it's how you do it. It's your determination, your choice, and your functioning that shows if you believe, like David, that the Messiah will secure you and save you. This is the difference, is that when you trust God, there is no gamble. His name was Monroe Parker, traveling through southern Alabama. You know how hot it can get down there, and sultry, humid. And as he was traveling, he still had 5 miles to go. He came across a man that he recognized selling watermelons. Came over and asked, how much are the watermelons? The proprietor said, $1.10. Reached in his pocket, pulled out a dollar and said, I only have a dollar. Will you trust me for the rest? The proprietor said, okay, sure. He reached over and grabbed a watermelon, handed it to Monroe. Monroe took off. He didn't hand him the dollar bill. So the proprietor hollered after him, hey, you didn't give me the dollar. And Monroe said, well, you trust me for it. He said, I didn't trust you for the dollar. I only trusted you for the dime. And Monroe said, yeah, you see, you were just making a gamble on whether I would have integrity for 10 cents or not, not the whole dollar 10. And sometimes that's what happens in our life. It's so easy, until we face the trouble, to say we're going to do it. But when the trouble comes, we cave in. Look at how our Lord did not do that. See that Jesus would not exchange his Father for another, even when the cup wasn't taken from him. See that Jesus would trust even to the point of death and hold on in faith against all odds. That was the secret of David's success and ours. Not that we're going to do it right, because when trouble comes back, we're going to fail. But we have one who has not. We have one who held on. We have someone that we can trust to carry us through. So when the trouble returns, make up your mind to face it directly, to not run away, and then to trust in the Lord and do it the way that God has designed. There's immense value in the spiritual integrity we learn from David's trust. He honored the king even at the point of danger. And you know, with joy like Jesus, he chose God's path. You're safe. Trouble or double trouble, it's God who is watching over. You can trust him. Amen. And as we stand, I'm going to share with you the words of the Path of Life written by David in Psalm 16. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let the Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.